North Sound 1. Friday. Sport.
Good evening, welcome to Friday Sport. In the next half hour, everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. And after an extremely successful and memorable ending to Sunday's clash against Rangers, it's a long trip to Ayrshire and an encounter with Kilmarnock up for the Dons tomorrow. We'll get the thoughts of Andrew Shiney in a minute, but Dave Galloway, you've been speaking to the gaffer.
Yes, and Derek says it's all about us trying to keep the momentum going.
Kilmarnock are much changed from Kilmarnock teams of the past. I think Lee's got them organised in a certain way, wants to play, hard working, press you hard, you need to fight for every inch on the pitch, you know, and I think that they look fit, athletic, and they look as if they've got some goals in them as well, with a couple of new signings and obviously Chris Boyd. So it's always took a good performance to win down there, and I think it'll take the same again. So just because they've won three doesn't mean to say this one becomes any easier. It's a tough game.
Killy, five games without a win, second bottom of the league. They took a really sore one to Celtic last week. Will that have any influence, or do you just push that all aside?
I don't think it will. I'm pretty sure Lee will look at it as not dwelling too much on that result. You know, I think going to Celtic Park, I think a lot of teams will be on the end of a sore one there at times, and I think it's important you move on quickly from those sort of games. I still think you can learn about your team and things. I'm sure that's been the case, but I think he'll see his home form in games against other teams away from home will be more of a gauge in what he's looking for this year.
Five games to come in October, a busy month coming up. How pivotal a month could it be for Aberdeen?
Same as every other month, to be honest. It's pivotal. You know, it's we started back and playing in June, and you know, there's importance in every game that we play here. But you know, I think that getting into a semi-final, you want to be in good form, and I think that the way we've managed to get some wins and get a wee bit of run going is pleasing. But you know, it's still got every challenge ahead of us.
Obviously, James Maddison's been terrific since he's come in. I'm sure many of us would love to see the loan extended. Or any plans for any talks to extend his stay here?
Not at the minute. I think it's too premature for that. You know, it's still the loan's still in its infancy, and the agreement was till January, so I don't think there's any real mileage in poking it at the minute, you know. But obviously James has started well, he's brought us exactly what we were hoping for, and you know, the doses of quality brings to games, you know, sometimes separate, none more so than last weekend. So you know, I think he's a player that we're enjoying having. If we can have him longer than January, then that remains to be seen. But you know, certainly up until now he's playing his part for us.
Now, I've also had a chat with Niall McGinn, and the winger, who's out of contract at the end of the season, says he's yet to hold talks with the gaffer about a new deal.
At the moment, I'm just concentrating my football, and obviously when the time's right, I'll definitely sit down and speak to the manager. So for now, I'm just concentrating on my football. I'm obviously involved in a busy schedule, whether it's international or club football, so I'm just enjoying things at the moment. I'm an international footballer. I've played a lot of football for Aberdeen, which I've enjoyed immensely. So things are good at the moment. I'm in a good place. So we'll play up a year, and obviously when the time's right, we'll sit down.
For the fans then, regarding your situation now, is it a case of no news is good news?
Yeah, that's it. I'm still here, I'm still giving 100% every week. I'm happy we're here, and things are good for me. So it's just obviously about playing every week, being an international footballer. So I wouldn't change it for the world.
Certainly a busy time coming up in October, five games. How important a month could that be?
With having the week that we've had, we just want to kick on now, and we're sort of back to Saturday games now for a while. And I think coming into this Kilmarnock game, if we get the 3 points on Saturday, it'll set us up nicely for the international break, and the boys can get away and rest up and do what they have to do and come back firing all cylinders again, wanting to go again and just making this run go as long as possible.
Now McGinn there. Well, it's Friday Sport. Good evening and welcome. I'm Dave McDermott. Joining me, Dave Galloway, who you've already heard from, and Andrew Shiney. And Andrew, looking back, it was some performance overall for the three games. The only game that's been played since we were last on air, of course, was Sunday. Looked as though it was going to be finish one each. It wasn't the best of games in terms of the Dons, particularly the first half when they didn't play at their best, but up popped 19-year-old James Maddison with a moment of brilliance.
Yeah, dream goal for young James. I mean, you know, as you say, it did look as though it was going to peter out to be a draw, because I think there was a lot of very tired legs, tired minds out there after the exertions of Thursday night against St Johnstone. But let's be honest, Rangers never looked like scoring, other than from the penalty. And, you know, for all that they had lots of possession, they had absolutely no cutting edge up front whatsoever. And, you know, if they keep on playing like that, they're not going to get on very well in this league, because you've got to translate possession into goals, and it's goals that win matches. And what a goal from James Maddison, to have the confidence at the age of 19 to step up and ping that one, as he said, into the top bin was just fantastic, because he himself hadn't played that well in his second half showing. And it was a fantastic end to the game, terrific atmosphere inside Pittodrie, and we want to see more of that over the coming weeks and months.
And Dave, just the point Andrew was making there, Joe Lewis, the hardest save he had to make was actually a wicked deflection off Shea Logan.
Yeah, and what a magnificent save that was as well. He was going in the wrong direction for somebody of such height, 6'4" or so, to change direction in midair and touch the ball around the post. Absolutely brilliant. And, you know, another really strong performance from Joe. He does the simple things, he does them very well, and he's a really good solid keeper that inspires confidence in those in front of him.
And of course there's no point in having, you know, 6 points and a place in the cup semi-final, which was the objective before the Dundee game, no point in achieving all that if you then spoil it by going into the next international break without 3 points at Kilmarnock.
Yeah, the achievements of this week just passed, 3 wins, terrific week. The gloss will severely be taken off that if Aberdeen don't get a victory at Rugby Park. It's going to be tough, though.
Yeah, and Andrew, we were just talking about the changes in the Kilmarnock team, virtually unrecognisable from, well, certainly the last time we were down there, which was the famous 4-0 win last season.
Yeah, I mean, Lee Clark's only been in charge at Rugby Park for 26 games, and already he's used 43 players, which is a staggering number. And as you say, there's only about 3 or 4 of them that played against us in that 4-0 game that are likely to feature tomorrow. So trying to get any sort of continuity going has been really difficult for Kilmarnock, and that's been reflected in the results. They are difficult to beat, but we've beaten them 10 out of 10 since Derek's taken over here. 7 of these games have been by single goals, 2 by 2-0 victories, and that 4-0 demolition job that we witnessed last time we were at Rugby Park. And I think Aberdeen riding the crest of a wave will continue that and make it 11 out of 11 for Derek.
I think one player, Dave, that we'll have to look out for is the lad Koulibaly, who scored an absolute screamer at Celtic Park last week, in the end all in vain, obviously.
What a very talented player he is, Dave. He doesn't seem to do tap-ins, does he? He had that outrageous overhead kick goal earlier in the season, and that shot against Celtic, I mean, he was about, I think they finally worked out, he was about 43 yards out, and he just had a pop. But what amazing technique, wasn't it?
It was indeed. And in terms of who else, Andrew, we should be looking, obviously Chris Boyd, you can't give him too much space. He's maybe in the twilight of his career, but he still he knows where the back of the net is.
He does. I mean, he doesn't have blistering pace, he never has had, but he's got an instinct for goal, and that is worth a couple of yards inside the 6 yard box. He's going to be a danger man. Jamie McDonald always plays well against Aberdeen when he wore Hearts colours. You can recall games where he pulled off save after save, but he's finding it harder at Kilmarnock because he's having to make more of those saves. Rory McKenzie is one who you know, has been there or thereabouts over the years without really setting the heather on fire. They've got a young guy, Dean Hawkshaw, who I saw playing for their youth team last season, I think it was, at Pittodrie in the Youth Cup, who looks promising. But as I said, you know, when you've used as many players as they have, being able to get a settled team together and get a familiarity amongst a team is extremely difficult.
Absolutely. Well, we'll get you guys' predictions and your idea of what the team will be after we hear from the Killie boss, Lee Clark.
What happened last week in terms of us at Celtic, it shows us what we have to do better in terms of when we come up against the top teams. We have to be more aggressive and play higher up the pitch in terms of, when I say aggressive in our pressing game, I think we showed a little bit too much respect to Celtic. So we have to be aggressive in our pressing game and play higher up the pitch against Aberdeen and give them a few more problems. Being impressed, I was impressed obviously with Derek and the work he'd done last year. I had one game against him in the latter part of the season, and he's made some good signings. He's already had some good players, and I watched, obviously it's been a big week for them in terms of the three games they had in various competitions, and I thought they've shown all aspects of the game. They've shown good playing football wise, ability to be aggressive and match teams, so we know it's going to be tough.
Lee Clark there. Right, Dave, we'll go for you first in terms of who you think Derek might to name in his starting 11 tomorrow afternoon.
All right, difficult as that may be to second guess the gaffer, I'm going with Joe Lewis in goals. Across the back, Shea Logan, Mark Reynolds, Andy Considine and Graham Shinney. Midfield, Niall McGinn, Anthony O'Connor, Kenny McLean and Johnny Hayes, and James Maddison playing off Adam Rooney.
Okay, Andrew?
I'm going to go for Joe Lewis in goal, a back four of Logan, O'Connor, Reynolds and Considine, Maddison, McLean, Shinney and Burns in the midfield, with Rooney and Hayes leading the attack.
Okay, and we'll stay with you, Andrew, for your one to watch.
The one to watch, I think, Wes Burns. He's only had flashes in recent weeks, but last time he was in Ayrshire, when we played in the Betfred Cup against Ayr United, he was magnificent, so I'm hoping that Ayrshire Ayr is going to bring the best out of Wes again tomorrow.
Okay, Dave, you're one to watch.
For me, Anthony O'Connor, his aggression and positional sense, they work very well at the back, and I'm sure he could also do a very good job in midfield, so that's who I'm going for.
Okay, for my scoreline, I'll just go first so you know I'm not just copying you guys. I'll go for 2-0 the Dons. Dave?
I've got 2-0 written down here, I swear.
Okay,
I've got 3-0.
Okay. And just before we leave the Dons, obviously the other big talking point is the fact that the semi-final, it's going to be at Hampden, Andrew. It's 12:15. It's not exactly the... Let's be clear, we have had 12:15 kickoffs in big games down in Glasgow before, but it's not going to be perhaps the showpiece game that it could be had it been a smaller venue if we get capacity and perhaps a bit of a more sympathetic kickoff time.
Yeah, I think there is the difficulty that Neil Doncaster, I think, mentioned when he was asked about this, that UEFA dictate that we couldn't play with a kickoff any time between 2:15 and 5:15. But if they'd played it in Edinburgh at 5:30, for example, it would have been an awful lot easier to get there than going to Glasgow for a 12:15 kickoff when there are real works going on which are going to make it difficult for people to get there. For him to turn round and say, oh, Aberdeen fans are going to have to leave relatively early. Sorry, Mr. Doncaster, you stay down in Glasgow, you can leave relatively late for any game and you'll get there easily. Try making your way down from Aberdeen and all points north and west of Aberdeen as well. It's not easy, and it does detract from the showpiece nature of the game.
Dave, what's your thoughts on the both the kickoff time and the venue?
I couldn't agree more with what Andrew's saying. I think it's just a kick in the teeth for the Dons. I think a place like Easter Road would have been absolutely perfect. 20,000 capacity, it would have been bursting at the seams, a great atmosphere. I think if they'd had a more sensible kickoff time, like 3 o'clock or something like that, ideally on a Saturday, you'd have had a much bigger crowd. You just need to look to the Hampden semi-final where Dundee United beat Aberdeen in 2015 in the League Cup. There was over 29,000 there. It was Saturday, it was 3 o'clock, and it wasn't on telly.
And the referee had a shocker, if I remember right.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, you're listening to Friday Sport. We'll continue our build-up to the weekend after these.
Your music. Your life. Let's go Friday. Sport.
Your North Sound One's Friday Sport. It's an away day at Kilmarnock for Aberdeen tomorrow, but the SPFL Ladbrokes Premiership action gets underway this evening with the Lanarkshire meeting of Motherwell and Hearts. Andrew?
Tight one. I would imagine that home advantage will work in Motherwell's favour, and they'll manage to get a 1-1 draw there.
OK, the lunchtime game tomorrow, Dave, sees Dundee entertaining Celtic.
Well, it could be a very nasty afternoon for Dundee, I fear. Dundee without a win, Dave, since their first league game of the season, that's 6 matches ago. It's really very hard with the best will in the world to see that changing, despite Celtic's Champions League exertions. I can't see anything other than a convincing away win. I'll go for 3-0 Celtic.
Yeah, the fans still 100% behind Paul in his role at Dens?
I think the others 1 or 2 grumbles, but you're always going to get 1 or 2 grumbles. But the vast majority of Dark Blues fans, I think, can appreciate what he's trying to do, what he's trying to achieve. And at the moment, they do appear to be, behind him.
Yeah, and obviously with his two showpiece players that he was really forced to let go in Hemmings and Stewart, which would weaken any team, I am sure. The other 3 p.m. kickoffs: Andrew, Hamilton at home to Inverness.
Inverness showing a bit of improved form in recent weeks, but Hamilton's always a difficult place to go to. I can't really separate these sides, so I'm going 1-1 yet again.
Okay, Rangers against Partick, Dave.
Well, Rangers, they'll be smarting, of course, after losing at Pittodrie last weekend. They are unbeaten at home this season, though. I think Thistle will score. We all know that Rangers are dodgy at the back, but I think Rangers will win. Overall, I think they'll win 3-1.
OK, and the final game, Andrew, Ross County against St Johnstone up in Dingwall.
Again, a very difficult game to predict. I'm going to go home advantage, sneaking it for Ross County better, but the odd goal in 3 there, 2-1 to Ross County.
OK, and in League 1, Peterhead, who are sitting 1 from bottom, are at home to Livingston. Blue Toon boss Jim McAnally.
It's where we are, and I think we just make it a mission to get ourselves out of there. If we play the way we did in the second half last week, I don't see any reason why we won't be out of there. When you lose a game like we did last week, when, to be honest, we would have really been disappointed just drawing the game with 15 minutes to go, then it can affect confidence a wee bit. Although I just feel as though there's enough determination and enough quality in there to take ourselves out of that position and get ourselves up to the top half of the league. I mean, bearing in mind, when we came off the park last week, we just lost to a team that were joint top. We certainly were far better than the second half, you know. So we know that if we can turn the corner, then we're well capable of taking ourselves out of this mess.
Jim McAnally there. Well, it was Scottish Cup all the way last week. Andrew, back to league duties this weekend.
There are a couple of Scottish Cup first round replays. Bonnyrigg Rose against Turriff United, they drew 1-1 last week, the winners of that tie at home to Cove Rangers in round 2. And Lossiemouth and Forest Mechanics, who shared 4 goals last week, they replay at Grant Park, and the winners of that one away to Leith Athletic or Cumbernauld Colts, so big incentive for them. In the P&J Highland League, it's Brora Rangers against Fraserburgh, Fort William against Cove, Keith visit Huntly, Bucky Thistle, who are still racing away at the top of the table, 53 goals and 10 successive victories. It's a repeat of the Scottish Cup tie from last week. They go to Harlaw Park to face Inveroorie Locos, having gubbed them 6-0 last week. Strathbay Thistle entertain Rothes, and the final fixture sees Devon Vale make the long journey up to Wick Academy.
In the juniors, the 2 semi-finals of the Grill League Cup sees Maud at home to Cooter, who were runners-up last year, and Bank City down at Montrose Rose Lee. In the McBookie.com Super League, Bucky Rovers are at home to Newborough Thistle, Duff Town are away to Colony Park. It's Hermes against Devon's side at Unicorn Park, and at Glenurie Park, Stonehaven, who've made a cracking start to their league campaign, runners-up last year, of course, they're at home to Hall Russell United, which will not be easy. In the First Division East, Buckenhaven Hearts versus Glentanner, Cruden Bay against Stonywood Parkvale, Aberdeen University make a short trip to East End, Fraserburgh United against Sunnybank, and Lewis United against Longside. First Division West is Forest Thistle versus Falkirkburn, Nairn St Ninian against Burghead Thistle, Islevale, they travel to Newmacher United, and Spey Valley United entertain New Elgin. The GA Engineering Interregional Cup, 1 tie there up at the Meadows, and that sees Ellen United face Dice. And in the Domino's Pizza North Regional Cup, first round, Bankery St Ternan against Inverness City. We've just a couple of minutes left. Turning attention back to Aberdeen, Dave, and another Scotland squad, and another squad with the name Aberdeen very prominent by its absence.
Absolutely. You know, words fail me on this occasion, quite frankly. A 28-man squad and no sign of any Aberdeen players. Graham Shinney must be pulling his hair out. I really feel for him because he has done so well, so consistently for Aberdeen. People are saying, oh, well, he's not playing at left-back, but I thought Gordon Strachan liked versatility. Shinney's really good at left-back. He's also really good as a central or holding midfielder. So I don't get it. I really don't.
Andrew, it's... Ryan Jack obviously is out injured just now. Kenny, who was the last Dons player to be involved, he's perhaps not playing as, and he admitted it himself, last time he was up for press, he needs to improve his consistency. But Graham Shinney, you do have to wonder what he does to become involved.
Well, as I've said on many occasions before, it's harder to get out of that squad than it is to get into the squad. And to be honest, I'm quite happy that there's no Aberdeen players in there.
From an Aberdeen perspective, it's fine. Yeah.
It is, because I mean, it saves going away and running the risk of getting injured, and it's an ideal opportunity for our first team squad, Niall and Johnny apart, to be able to rest up, recharge the batteries and get ready for what, as Dave has said already, is a busy October leading up to November, December, which are even busier. So it's disappointing, but if Graham just keeps on playing the way he is, then surely the penny's got to drop with Gordon Strachan.
And bizarrely, Craig Story, who's been getting precious little game time, is
gets
back
a
in
game,
the under 21s.
Gets a game for the 21s, where Scott Gemmell said that he was going to have a complete revamp of that system. Well, delighted for Craig, but just one of these things.
That's it for another week on Friday Sport. Remember, Kilmarnock against the Dons tomorrow. Have a great sporting weekend. See you next Friday. Bye-bye.